up, everybody? JP Finley, Washington Football Talk Podcast, bye week extravaganza. Mitch Fischler and Pete Haley are here. We had a lot of fun with this one. So you're going to hear from defense coordinator Jack Del Rio first, and probably most importantly, you'll get to hear from JBR on what he thought has gone well, what has gone poorly, what they can do better with. I only made him mad once in our 10 minutes of talking, which is usually pretty good with Jack. I don't think he liked my NFC East question, but you'll hear that yourselves. Then we decided to look ahead. Matty Clicks always wants us to spin it forward. So here we go, Matty. There's 9 games of Washington football left. How many of them will Washington win, and are the playoffs a real possibility? You know me and the big man. Our preference is always to go by what the experts in the desert think. So we got our experts, which are actually in Long Island and not the desert, but the people from PointsBet, who are our official gambling partner. We talked with one of their odds makers about how many wins Washington's going to have the rest of the way in, and what the spreads will be, how big of favorites, how big of underdogs. It was really fun. We got to guess what the lines were going to be, which was also quite fun. And after that, we assembled our team of experts, which was Mitch, Pete, and I. And we got John Keim and Michael Phillips on the Zoom as well. And we went through the schedule and picked out how many wins there would be, how many losses, and what exactly are the chances of competing in this NFC East. As always, we're brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Go check out Oarsman Chantilly Kia in Chantilly, Virginia, right there on Auto Park Drive or Auto Park Circle, wherever it is. Billy in Chantilly is your guy. New cars, used cars, lease cars. Interest rates are crazy low. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage, Pete?
Interest rates, crazy low. Definitely an advantage for the buyer. Go to Oarsman.
Attaboy. Mitch, I've noticed you fall asleep twice while I've been talking. You doing okay, buddy?
You've been talking a long time.
Record a minute intro. So that's what I just did.
I said nothing.
Okay.
You were sleeping.
Enough out of that. Let's move on then. Jack Del Rio, Andy Menino, and then the regular pod boys with Keim and Philly. You guys are going to enjoy this one. Enjoy the bye week. Decompress. Take a couple days off from football. Just listen to the podcast a bunch, like 5 times, and we'll be back up and running Monday.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Big thanks to Washington defense coordinator Jack Del Rio for joining us. Jack, coming off a dominant performance against the Dallas Cowboys, how pleased were you with your group?
Well, I was pleased. You know, I thought we went out, started fast, played with great energy, and stuck with it throughout the game. And as always, when you go into the tape, you know, it's not perfect. There are things we need to do better. Things we'll correct. But obviously, it was a great outing.
Coaches are never happy, man. I can only imagine, like, the one coach who gets to watch the winning Super Bowl tape is the one time the tape was good.
Right. And, you know, even then, you're going to find things. But the bottom line is, you know, we've been practicing well the last few weeks. And we talked all week about starting fast. And obviously, they've got a lot of weapons and, you know, the ability to do things. And we want to make sure we got that shut down. So overall, it was a good outing by the Washington football team.
Sure. And I mean, I think you can see the improvement, especially the last 2 weeks. Ron said something that was pretty interesting last week, that he's starting to put together his team. And while so much of that focus was about the quarterback, defensively, you guys have made some changes also. I mean, DeShazer Everett's playing a lot more. Cole Holcomb played a lot more in that Cowboys game. Do you feel like you're starting to figure out your group?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Shays getting in there and getting his opportunity and doing well with it, I think certainly, you know, we're pleased with that development. Cole Holcomb being healthy again. You know, we thought highly of Cole all along. He just got banged up in the first game and missed, you know, a month or so. So, good to have him back. I think those two guys are impactful. They bring some energy. They bring some physicality. We've got a lot of building blocks to grow and develop. And I think they're starting to understand how it all fits together.
Speaking of building blocks, what about the two guys on the edges, Chase Young and Montez Sweat? How, you've been involved in football for your entire adult life. What's it like having two young guys that can grow together like that?
Yeah, I mean, the good part is they come to work every day and they work at it. You know, they want to be good and they're willing to work at it. You know, a lot of people want to take the shortcut, and there is no shortcut. So it's great to see two young men that obviously have a lot of talent, you know, come to work every day and look to improve, and they're good teammates. You know, in Chase's case, he's running a lot of games yesterday to free up other people. You know, Montez is the beneficiary, just being able to cut it loose and, gave us that production. So, but I like the way those guys are working, and that, you know, to me, when you're wired the right way and you have that talent, then good things are, you know, in front of you.
Hey, one guy that's getting less snaps, but still pretty effective, Ryan Kerrigan. How important is it kind of his character in that locker room when maybe he's playing a little bit less, that he sees the big picture?
Yeah, I think he understands that he's got two really talented guys that happen to be playing in front of him, but he is still in the mix and he is still getting his opportunities and he is making the most of them. I mean, he's been very, very productive in the limited time he's playing. He's taking full advantage of it. I think at this point in his career, you know, to ask him to go out there and play 50 snaps is unrealistic, but he certainly is impactful in the snaps that he's getting.
Scary moment yesterday, big hit from John Bostic on Andy Dalton. It was tough because Bostic led with his shoulder, but obviously the speed and the angle of the hit was just devastating.
Right.
What was your immediate reaction kind of on the field in the moment?
I was kind of pissed, you know, really honestly, that we didn't get off the field right there. I mean, you know, I'm like, no, come on. You know, you can't hit the quarterback up there. So, you know, I know it wasn't his intent, obviously, you know, but I'm not sure he had to bring, you know, that level of physicality to get that quarterback down. I just wanted to, you know, get down, get off the field and give our offense the ball back. And that didn't happen. So that was my immediate. Now looking at it, obviously it was bang, bangs, tough play. I mean, a guy could have slid earlier. You can talk about all those different things. Bottom line, it was a bang, bang play. There was no malicious intent on JB's part. I know, you know, he feels bad about that. Bottom line, they got the penalty and we move on.
Yeah, and John doesn't have any sort of reputation like that. You know, I mean, I don't know if you saw this. There's news has come out that he won't be suspended. It's been reported anyway. So I imagine there's a fine coming, but no suspension.
Yeah, anytime you hit the quarterback high, you're going to get fined. I mean, so, you know, whether it's in the pocket, when he's sliding, whenever, if you're hitting – anywhere in the head neck area of the quarterback, it's going to cost you.
Sure. We can get out of here. I'm curious about this. The NFC East is historically struggling. You've been in football a long time. What do you think just of seeing the division that has been so good in the past so far down?
Yeah, I don't look at it like that. I mean, that's for other people to talk about. I mean, you know, you can draw these samples after 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and make these declarations. I mean, let's just see when the season ends up. You know, let's see how it shakes out in the end. So I think it's a little early to start talking about historical things for a season when we're not even halfway there yet. So let's see how it turns out.
That's a fair point. You like to buy in the middle of the season?
I do. I think it's a good time for it. You know, you don't have much say in when you get it. You get it when, you know, whenever the league decides they give it to you. But I think it's a good spot for us right now.
You got any plans? You're just going to watch tape?
No, we'll watch a little tape. I'll probably get out and play a little golf if the weather allows. But time to kind of unplug, catch our breath a little bit, and then make a good push in the second half.
All right. Coach, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Horseman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Horseman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Horseman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Horseman story.
Horseman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. We are very excited to bring on Andrew Menino. He is the senior sports content analyst at PointsBet, our betting partners. That we've been, all our lines have been coming from them for 100 chips and all the exotic stuff that fake bet police Mitch gets so upset about. Andrew, thank you for the time, man. How you holding up?
Doing good, man. Happy to be here.
All right, good deal. So, you know, when I reached out, I wanted to do two things. Washington now has 9 games left. The first thing that I find the most interesting is it an updated win total bet. So the way we look at this is if any team in the NFC East can get to 7 wins, they're going to win this thing. They're going to run away with it. But I think it's possible a team could get to 6 wins and win the NFC East. Washington has 9 left. They either have to win 4 or 5 to get to those totals. What do you think Washington's win total will be the rest of the year? And if you can't, explain why.
So right now, if we were putting out a line, we'd put up 3.5 over-under wins for the rest of the season, slightly backing the under there. There's not a lot of games that we're going to have them favored in moving forward. It's just hard to find wins on the schedule for Washington right now, especially with the way they've started out this season, even in a bad NFC East.
So you're not buying the momentum of the big win over the Giants and, I mean, hell, the narrow loss to the – I'm sorry, the big win over the Cowboys, narrow loss to the Giants?
I mean, you look at the way the team played, and I think it really was a standout performance for them so far this year, because so much of the team is going to be dependent on the defensive line clicking. But you also look at how well the offense moved the ball, and that's been a problem for them all season long, where they've been relying on short completions. They were able to pick up yards in chunks. And it remains to be seen if they'll be able to keep that up over the long haul this year.
How much of the big win over Dallas do you think was because Dallas is awful?
It didn't look promising for Dallas's futures. I thought Kyle Allen looked great out there. He was moving the ball pretty much at will. I was waiting for him to scream, "You like that?" at any moment there.
You like that? You like that?
It didn't look good for Dallas's defense at all.
No. And so I know we're going to go through game by game with the spreads, but this is perhaps unfair. But we saw, maybe was that last week or 2 weeks ago, Mitch? Do you remember that there was a win total set for the winner of the NFC East at 6.5? Does that still seem right to you?
It's close. I think you're right in saying it's going to take 7 to get there. But somebody has to win the division, and nobody seems to want it right now.
Sure.
Somebody's going to have to win a few games and come out on top there.
I think that damn bye is going to help the Eagles. I think they're going to get in at 6-9-1 or something. You don't have – and this is completely unfair, so no worries if you don't have it. You don't have win totals the rest of the way in for the Eagles, Giants, or Cowboys, do you? Or even just a guesstimate? No.
But you have an updated odds of favorite to win the division.
We do have that. I mean, this is going to be all pretty close there.
Because if Washington's over under is 3.5, you're assuming they're going to get to 5.5 wins. Somebody's going to get to. I'm sure somebody's over under is going to be 4.5 to try and get to 6.5. You know, 6.5, 7.
Philly is the favorite, right?
They have Philly's the prohibitive favorite right now. With the Giants drifting out all the time.
What if I gave you one of the Cowboys the rest of the way, Which side would you take? They're a train wreck, dude.
Yeah, they're awful. I'd probably take the over because strange things happen in the NFL.
Sure, especially in the summer.
And 1.5 is a low number. But, yeah, I wouldn't be feeling good right now if I was a Cowboys fan. All right.
Well, can we ask, so when you're making a line or when you're doing these lines, how much are you using an eye test, you know, watching a lot of these games, and how much are you using just raw data, statistics, numbers when you're trying to figure out both futures in terms of over-unders and game-to-game lines?
Yeah, I mean, we lean much more on the data and on the numbers of what the teams are doing with, you know, favoring what they've done recently. And then we let the market speak. You know, sports betting is an open market. And if the line's too high, people will let you know pretty soon.
So Pete's got a pencil, and he's going to write down all the specific spreads. But I wanted to ask, before we get there, how are you guys with COVID? What's happening with home and away? Like, is home field worth 3 points?
I think we reacted pretty strongly. We knocked about 1.5 off early on. But now that the season's really really cruising, it's working itself out in the wash. Not everybody. Some teams have some fans. Some teams have kind of a lot of fans. I don't think home team advantage is what it has been in years past. That's for sure.
How have you handled all the scoring? Did you kind of let it play out in early weeks, and then since then, have you adjusted the over-unders to reflect the amount of points that are being scored?
I mean, the over was hitting every game, it felt like, for a while there. But, you know, it all comes out in the wash. Over time, the unders are going to hit. Things are going to even out. You know, you hang a line and you move off the action, and when everybody's betting the over, that moves the total. But eventually, things come back down to earth and even out.
Not a lot of overs are hitting in Washington football games, though. So they're probably helping you a little bit.
Yeah.
NFC East is probably helping you in the total market.
JP took the over against the Cowboys, just to let you know.
I did.
Hasn't been a lot of lightning up the scoreboard.
Yeah. All right, so this is my last one, and then we'll go through game by game. Washington has 3 quarterbacks. Dwayne Haskins has already started 4 games. Kyle Allen started 3, got hurt. Alex Smith played for a half. Do any of those quarterbacks impact the line?
Not with what they've done so far. I mean, none of them have been so good as to significantly seem like they're going to improve the offense no matter who they face. And none of them have been so bad or so standout bad compared to the others that they're going to really punish the line there. I think at this point, it's not going to be a huge factor no matter who gets the start.
I think that is the absolute most telling truth about the quarterback situation in Washington. Because I think if you go to what's another bad team? And then I don't know if my Zoom is closed.
But the Giants.
If you go to like the Giants, and you go from Daniel Jones to Colt McCoy, that would move a line, right?
That would definitely impact them.
You saw the Bills. Sam Darnold was thought to possibly be out, and that was, I think, a 13 or 14 point spread. And when Darnold came back, it moved down to. Did you guys have it down to 10?
Yeah,
that's a really bad football team.
And I think that they're in sort of an unenviable position there.
All right, Peter, you're up.
All right, Andrew, let's do this. You said that you wouldn't have Washington as favorites in many of the remaining games. Well, let's go game by game and let us know your projected spread, sir. This is going to be some exclusive Washington Football Talk Pod content coming your way.
All right. So first thing, we've got the Giants up after the bye. We have Washington as a 3-point favorite there.
Hey, Andrew, if you don't care, let us try to guess it. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
I was gonna guess 3.5. Washington minus 3.5 against the Giants. I like the field goal though.
I kind of like the Giants plus 3, but we got time.
Certainly do I. All right. Next up, I believe is the Lions Bengals. Which one's next?
Lions. Lions at home. Or no, Lions out there, right?
Out there.
Lions out there, Washington plus 5.
I have Washington plus 4.
I got Washington plus 4.
I got Washington plus 5.
Oh, I nailed it.
Victory. I like it. That. All right, then it's Cincy at home.
Cincy at home. That feels like Washington by 2.
That's a straight pick 'em.
1.5. Skins by Washington by 1.5.
I got Washington 1.5 by 1.5.
Hold on. You guys cheated leading into this.
It's annoying.
Dude, I swear to God, you were on the Zoom. I asked him if I should call him Andy or Andrew. I've never spoken to him.
It's all an elaborate ruse.
I need to go play the lotto. All right. Yeah. We're going to Dallas Thanksgiving.
I think you need to intern for Andrew, actually. He might be able to take you under his wing. All right. Dallas Thanksgiving. They're going to probably have – might be Ben DiNucci. They might even have a new head coach with the way this is going. I'm going to say Dallas by 3, standard 3 there.
This is going the other way, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just not prepared to say that Washington is a favorite on the road. It's just my conditioning. I'm sorry.
I think Washington's minus 1 on the road.
Dude, this is the first one I'm wrong then. Like, we watched that thing yesterday. We watched that car accident. Washington minus 4.
I bet this is a pick'em. I think it's a tough game on a road against a team they just blew out yesterday. But you know, it's a divisional game, and things happen. And it's not very often that Washington blows out a division rival twice in the same year.
Correct.
Well, hold on. It's also, we talked about home field advantage, how it didn't affect the spread that much. But Dallas is having what, 20, 30,000 fans at games. Does that play into your guys' lines?
Yeah, and it's Thanksgiving. It's in their house. People are going to be fired up. It's going to be loud. This is one of the games that it's going to affect them.
They'll have fired Mike Nolan by then.
Who knows who their quarterback's going to be?
Ben DiNucci.
Heck, Andy might be their quarterback.
I could be. It wouldn't be the first time I've gotten a call from Dallas trying to bring me up.
All right, next up is a trip to the Steel City. This is going to be a big number here. This is the stretch of big numbers, big dogs.
This dog. They're going to be double-digit favorites in – I mean, double-digit underdogs in Pittsburgh. I'm going to go 12. 12-point dogs.
I was going 11.5, and I think whatever it opens at, it'll close like 2 points different. They go in the other way because everybody's going to hammer the Steelers. But I'm going to say 11.5.
I like 11.5. And since it's worked going with JP, I'll just say 11.5. See if we're both right. I want to get one right here.
I got Washington right now plus 12.5.
Ooh. Yeah. What were you, Mitch? 12?
12.
All right. We were all right there.
Yeah.
But would you be shocked if that thing closes at 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. There'll be some movement, but it's right at the edge of 12.5 there, of the key number of 13. So I think it probably crosses there, maybe gets to 13.5. If it gets to 14, things are starting to get out of hand.
So, Pete, when you start playing your teases, wait for it to get to that key number so you can tease it up.
Yeah. Andy, I recently heard that it's – not advisable to tease a total. It's best to look for a tease where you're moving the line on both games. Is that something you would agree with?
I would advise not to use parlays. And the value you're losing on a teaser is going to hurt you in the long term anyway.
Okay.
It's almost like other people have given him that same advice, Andy.
Yep.
Andy, hold on.
You've tried.
Can we take a brief pause here and just let Pete explain his gambling strategy on Sunday? Where he had five different player prop parlays, and that's how he decided to empty out the account.
Yeah, it was actually 6. Most of them ended up with odds over 1,000, somewhere in like the 1,400 range, and I only have one left. And by the time this podcast gets released, that one will be decided too. So
tell us what it is, though.
Jared Goff whenever this podcast is out, people, if Jared Goff had fewer than 251 passing yards, I will have made $36 on a $2 bet. So hopefully that comes through. But yeah, it was a nasty weekend, and I just decided to go all out and crash and burn.
What was the what is the parlay that that Goff is the final leg of?
Over in the Seahawks Cardinals game, Goff under 250.5. I think it was over Galladay reception yards, easy because it's against the Falcons. And then one other one, like Kareem Hunt to score a touchdown, which was the easiest part of that bet. So Andrew or Andy, I know I'm not necessarily following your advice in that one, but I'll try to apply it moving forward.
I mean, good luck, buddy.
They don't think they don't build those big giant houses in Vegas because they like giving away money on parlays.
Correct.
We build them $2 at a time, not paying out $36.
Perfect. Right. All right. After the Steel City, they are back home for somebody that's going to.
No, they're heading
to three straight road games.
Somebody. Yeah.
The Niners by then.
This is hard to guess because there's going to be a lot more. They're a little banged up now. They're starting to get healthier. But, man.
They just beat the snot out of the Pats. I'm going to go 9 for the Niners. Not quite double digit. Washington plus 9.
I actually think that this line might be a little bigger than the Steelers. I think the Steelers are the better team, but the Niners defense can wreak a little more havoc. So I'm gonna go Niners minus 13 on this one.
Wow, that's a big delta between you and I.
Niners minus 11.
Andy?
We got them 10.5 right now. Over that key number, not quite as far as Steelers, but a big line nonetheless.
I mean, how often are – I guess it probably happens fairly often. Teams are double-digit road dogs consecutive weeks.
Not good.
It's not what you love to see if you're a Washington fan.
No. No, most definitely not.
So is that in Seattle at home?
Seattle at home. I mean
here's Seattle. The problem. Seattle gives up points, but Washington can't score. And I don't think their offense is going to be significantly better. We're in late December now, right? We're Christmas time?
Yeah.
That might be a double-digit home dog.
They were last year to the Ravens. Hell, they were this year to the Ravens.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Washington minus plus 9.5. So right on the edge.
Washington plus 10.5.
Andy, this might be crazy. Do you have to take into any consideration that they're resting Russ Wilson or anything?
We're not taking it into account that early right now. That's a long way, you know, week 16, 17, maybe they're resting. It's
Bad question.
What week is this?
15.
This is 15. It's pretty
bad question.
If
that's fair.
If
it'd be helpful if Pete would say what week it was.
Also, the NFC West is pretty tight. There's a lot of good teams out there. I don't know that Seattle's clinching with a few weeks to play.
I'm pretty
minus 11. That's
by the way,
number.
Pretty sure, JP, me having the schedule up doesn't preclude you from you also having the schedule up. Just saying.
Just say Andy. The week, Pete. Just say the week.
Okay, Andy, what's the line?
Yeah, let's go to the line.
We got him at 10. Seattle's going to be favored on the road in a big way in this game.
That's three straight really double digits?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, top of your head, Andy, do you ever go 3-4 straight double digit for one team? Does that I could see that in college for sure, but in the pros, that's pretty rare, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but it's a brutal stretch to wrap up the season, especially if they're in the divisional race right there. It's going to be a real danger of going off the tracks in those three games.
I've decided the best way to decide the NFC East is not by whether the teams win, it's whether they cover or not. Those standings should be converted to teams, and a win is a cover and a loss is not covering. It's that simple.
Might still be
has
pretty
any open. It might. So there's already been, I mean, the Rams have already gone 4-0. I know the Cardinals beat the Cowboys in Washington. Has any NFC East team logged a win over the NFC West yet this year? That might be how you crown your winner. If anybody beats an NFC West team, they get to make they get to win the division.
It counts as three.
Here's the thing about that the Seahawks game, and Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but double-digit home NFL dogs are a pretty profitable betting metric.
Yeah, that's certainly the sort of traditional thinking there. I'd have a hard time going against Russell Wilson in this game right now, though.
It's hard to imagine him not putting up, Seattle not putting up. Whatever the Seattle team total is, that's the one that you go over of.
First half.
I could put up 40.
Yeah. All right, Pete, week 16.
Week 16.
He probably has things to do besides hear us bicker with each other.
Correct. Week 16 is a 1 o'clock tilt against the Panthers, the Ron Rivera Bowl, and I got this one as a pick'em.
In D.C.?
In D.C.
Dude, Carolina's going to be favored. Carolina.
I'm not good at this.
Maybe it's not quite – I mean, you take – especially by then, who knows who's going to be in the stands. I got the Panthers by like 2.5.
I had the Panthers by a field goal, so I'll go 3.
Yeah, we got the Panthers laying 3 here.
Big man gets on the board. Pete, have you had any direct winners?
Nope. Just like my real betting. It's just
like over-unders and just like 100 chips. Pete can't win.
Yep. All right, you have one, Mitch?
I got one.
All right, so you need to hit this for a tie.
All right, final game.
Unless we want to do a preliminary playoff line.
Andy doesn't seem into that.
Washington in the playoffs hanging a line right now, I'll tell you that.
The final week, week 17 against the
I tell you what, if they got a home playoff game, they'd be getting at least 2 touchdowns, I'm guessing, and I would gobble up every single one of those points. I just think about, like, that New Orleans home playoff – the Seattle home playoff game with the Beastquake. I mean, Ron already did this with a 7-8-1 Panthers team in the playoffs. They won outright. So, we're a long ways off, but I would jump on the points, and I would sprinkle that money line.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Philly. At Philly to end the season. Let's start with Andy. What do you think the chances are that's a win and in situation for either team?
It certainly looks promising right now. Like somebody's going to have something on the line in that game. There's a lot of divisional games left to shake out and see where the standing is. But I could definitely see it coming down to that.
All right. At Philly, I'm going Eagles.
Five.
I got Eagles minus 6.
Eagles minus 5.5.
I got the Eagles minus 5.
Oh, come on, Andy. That line says 6. You know those numbers say 6.
Dude, that is my most clutch performance ever, Andy.
Yeah.
I always get out to big leads, and then I always choke them away in every single competitive thing I do in the world. That's what I do. So that was really fun.
Here's hoping Washington can come back at the end of the season like that, make it happen.
You don't seem too optimistic on that, Andy.
I don't. I'm a lifelong Washington fan, and I've been.
Are you really?
Yeah. I've been through the ringer my share of times, so I'll keep watching and I'll root for them, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Are you from down here? Where are you from?
I'm not. I'm from Long Island.
Okay.
I had family move up in the glory days, so everybody was rooting for Washington back then, and the Jets. Built a stadium in New Jersey, and the rest is history.
Gotcha. Well, Andy, this was a blast, dude. We'll have to bring you back on to when they get to the playoffs,
Yeah.
I want to – can you give me a ballpark preliminary? Who would Washington be hosting? It'd be
the – say they're hosting
– they'd be hosting the 7th wild cards team, right? Or no, they'd be hosting the best team.
I was thinking
2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5. They'd be hosting the number one wild card team. Best team to not win their division.
So they'd be getting the best team, the second best team out of the NFC West. They'd be getting the Cardinals.
No, Andy just said it'd be yeah.
I was thinking the team in the South will probably be
the Bucks
or the Saints would probably be in pretty strong shape. If they get the Rams or the Cardinals, I think that's a much more doable feat.
Yeah, they had a decent chance against the Cardinals, and then that Rams game was just a mess. If they get the Bucks in the playoffs, Tom Brady comes to FedEx for a playoff game. I mean,
is the world turned upside down?
Is he laying 20?
Close. We got we opened up with the Chiefs laying 20 and a half to the Jets this week.
I saw that.
I'm kind of interested to see what happens there because you don't see lines like that in the NFL all the time.
What was the Jaguars line against Peyton Manning with the Broncos a couple years ago? That was like the biggest line ever, right?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I remember it being outrageous.
Well, Andy, we'll let you go, dude. This has been.
I got one more for Andy, real quick.
Go ahead.
What is the worst line you've ever made? Any sport that you've come up with?
The worst line I've ever – I got Pat in my ear here saying 23 and a half was that Jaguars line.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Every time I make a bad line, there's always another bad line coming tomorrow. So you just try to pay attention to the bettors, listen to what they're telling you, and move the line off the bat.
Well, let us know if you ever make a bad line that you feel really bad about and maybe want to help out your podcast buddies.
I'll let you know, Pete. You can throw down an eight-leg parlay on it.
Yeah.
There you go.
My guy.
I got to say, the life of a legitimate professional bookie or line maker or odds maker, whatever the appropriate term is.
I don't think bookie is the correct one.
Certainly not that
record. I don't know that professionals appreciate bookie.
I apologize, but you seem like incredibly – remember Jim Zorn, god awful coach here in Washington for a few years. His whole thing was to stay medium. You seem like you stay medium very well, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, we just try to trust the process. You know, you can't get too caught up on anything. We may win $1 million on a game or lose $1 million on a game, and you just got to trust the process and focus on what we're doing, do the right things, and hope it all comes out in the wash.
So you'll appreciate yesterday. Mitch doesn't know this, but he and I had both had pretty good weekends, and then we were walking out of FedEx Field, and he's like, all right, I just need the Bucks to hold on here, and I had a very good weekend. And in my head, I'm like, well, F you, because I need the Raiders to cover for me to have a very good weekend. And I imagine you're on the middle of that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, it's always like that. You know, one weird call or strange bounce or a fumble or – useless touchdown changes everything for everybody, and the calculations all are redone again.
That's why
I was going to let you follow up that the what your worst line was with whatever your best line was, because I imagine there are times you post a line and you're like, oh man, I'm going to sucker some folks on this one.
No, I mean, you know, same thing. It's just numbers, man. We're just working through it and getting another one. I try not to be too hung up on wins and losses and just focus on doing the right thing. I mean, follow the process, adjust to the market, and keep taking them bets.
It's like coach speak out of a line.
Andy, is it worse? It really is. Is it worse to be called a bookie or to be asked if you've made lines that sucker people into betting on them? What was more?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the sort of slang of bookie as much as not trying to harangue anybody to bet something they don't want to bet, you know?
You and JP are clearly in on it against us, against BNP. I get it. I'm not doing 18 parlays, but for some reason I fell out of favor. This is all shenanigans.
Andy, this has been awesome, dude. You want Twitter or anything you want people to check you out?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Andy underscore Menino, and we're always at
points.com. MANNINO?
Yes, sir.
Dude, when is PointsBet going to be available in Maryland?
That's a bit out of my wheelhouse. I just focused on the lines, but we're always trying to get to more states, as many as possible as legislation passes and as soon as it becomes feasible for us.
I bet I freaked Pat the PR man out with that question, asking about when.
Andy,
for the record, JP, we had the governor of Maryland on, and JP was trying to harangue him into passing the sports betting loophole in Maryland.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. We're getting close. That's the one political thing we've taken a stance on here in the nation's capital. Andy, thank you again, man. This was a blast. Maybe we can check back in after Thanksgiving or something with the last month of the season to go.
Sounds good. Hope to talk to you guys then.
Cool. Take care, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
That was fun.
Okay, here is our expert panel. Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler here. So am I. We got Michael Phillips, the publisher of the Richmond Times Dispatch, I believe, are you guys acquiring more newspapers across southwestern Virginia? I heard that rumor in Wall Street. Is that accurate?
By the minute. By the minute. By the minute.
And Mr. John Kime, a fine purveyor of barbecue and coffee and Sunday whiskey?
Well, hopefully.
We'll see.
I gotta be honest. I saw you guys all yesterday, but for some reason, being in the same Zoom room is making me really excited. I love being around you dudes, whether
it's your thing's about to happen.
We were all just in the same Zoom room for the Turner and the Del Rio pressers.
I know, but it's just us five, and there's not like Russell rustling around and other dudes just talking out of nowhere. It's just us five hanging out and being experts.
Look at Pete complaining about rustling around after your performance last pod.
Whatever.
You got to bring your A game to talk to Jack Del Rio because he will dunk on you at will. He is Sean Kemp in the mid-90s dunking on people. We'll leave it at that. All right. So Kime and Philly don't know what we're about to do, which is kind of fun. So we just talked to a like professional odds maker from PointsBet, and we got an updated win total for the rest of the year. And then spreads for every game the rest of the year for the Washington football team.
You talking about pregame spreads like what we had yesterday, the ribs and s'mores? Or
best spread they've ever had, right?
Yeah.
It was good.
S'mores were amazing.
Yeah. You know what? They were too rich for me, Mitch. I couldn't finish it.
And Kime was around when they would like grill mammoth out by the caves, so he's seen it all.
Yeah, well, it's like they used to have like you get like the Flintstones thing where you get this big rack ribs of your car and it would tip over.
How beat up were your feet taking the footmobile from Berryville all the way to Landover?
I got blisters.
All right, so here's what we're gonna do. 9 games left. Washington is 2-5. Do you guys want to guess what their updated remainder, what their win total is for the final 9 games?
I think they may have raised it to 5.5 on the strength of the NFC East alone here.
Kime, you got a guess?
Are you talking about for the overall win total or just for the last 9 games?
For the last 9 games, what do you think it would be?
I'm sorry. 5.5 was a total for the season. So 3.5 of the last 9.
Okay.
I'll go 2.5.
All right. Philly nailed it. It was 3.5. Wow. So let's go. Let's do it. 3.5 of the last 9 means they got to get to 4. I'm going over. What the hell? That gets them to 6-10. I guess I've been saying 5-11 all along.
Does that give you a division win?
It could. It really could.
I think six wins does it.
I think they'll beat the Giants and the Cowboys.
That gives them 4 in the division. You take all the tiebreakers at 6 then.
All right. So,
but the Philly has the tie, so they'll get to 6-9-1 if they get to 6 also.
That's true.
How should we do this? Should we go game by game, or should we try to all do a total?
It's pretty impressive that Mitch could deliver that line even though he doesn't have a mouth anymore. It's just the top of his head in the Zoom.
It is a weird angle.
Thomas came in for the post-game interview yesterday, but they were still at the Kyle Allen height on the Zoom, so we had to pause for the adjustment.
Pete, you have the numbers there. Let's go through week by week, cover, et cetera.
All right.
Dude, wait until you hear how big these numbers are for the Steelers and the Seahawks and all that.
Yeah. Before we get to the stretch of death, there are 4 very winnable games, and the first one is this Giants game. At home, after the bye, what is the line for that one, do you think, Michael and John? And or should I just tell them?
Just tell me. Okay.
The Giants game means Washington is a 3-point favorite.
All right.
According to PointsBet.
I'll go first. That's a win.
If you're serious about picking this team to go over on the total, they got to beat the Giants. An improving team coming off a bye week against a bad opponent at home. That's when you got to have, if you're going to be optimistic about this thing.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of like the Giants at 3.
You can think the Giants are going to cover, but I think Washington wins.
That's where I'm at. They already lost to them by a point. I could see that again. 22-21 Washington.
You're living in a very tiny house there, a Washington two-point or one-point win. It's like the little tiny houses they have that people live in.
It worked out.
The Giants' last two games, they've lost by a single point. That team has learned how to lose. Go ahead.
Next game after that.
Time answer? Let him answer, Pete.
He did.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to answer there. I'm going to take – listen, you can make a case that if they had kicked the extra point last week and gone into overtime, you could have won by six, too. But so in other words, even though they just won by one, I think I can still take the over on that one. I'm going to look for a blowout four-point win.
I'm with Kyle. I think they cover too. I think they win that. That's going to be a pretty easy win.
After that,
I'm not going that far, but yeah,
we're not going with like Philly's what you call the 24 point win in New York.
I was a week ahead of my time. I was a week ahead of my time.
Next up, they go to my favorite state in the 50 nifty, and that is Michigan to Detroit to face the Lions. The Lions are going to be 5-point favorites. Projected. Philly, what's your lean there on the made-up spread from PointsBet?
It's only my second favorite of the Michigan Peninsulas, though. Give me the upper any day. Well, I will take Detroit in that one. I think there's actual talent on that team, even if their coach is absolutely going to get fired at the end of the year.
What was the line?
5 for the Lions.
I like the Skins to cover, but I don't think they win.
I think it's going to be the Adrian Peterson revenge game, and he's gonna score a late touchdown to win that thing by 7 for the Lions.
Yeah, I like the Lions in that one with the line.
Well, the Lions at 3-3 are definitely the best team in this 4-game stretch. I'm gonna take Washington to cover. I think it's two desperate teams at that point trying to stay relevant in their respective divisions, but I don't think Washington will win.
I'm gonna dispute that. I think the next team you mentioned is the best team of the four.
All right, well, the next team is the Bengals, and according to PointsBet, Washington will be 1.5-point favorites.
No, seriously?
Yep. Seriously.
What am I missing here?
Bengals defense.
Here's the thing. Matthew Stafford is a veteran quarterback and knows how to get around a defensive line that's going to be swarming in his face. We've already seen Joe Burrow get rattled because he has a poor offensive line. We've seen Burrow not be able to get the ball out as well when he's got guys in his face. And I think the D-line, just like they did for a lot of the Dallas game, is going to be able to control what the Bengals do. I think Washington wins and covers.
Wow.
This is a shaky one for me because I do think that Burrow does a really good job and did yesterday too of getting that ball out quick when there's pressure, knowing where his hots are. That's impressive. But I think the key would be in that game, like you said, the defensive line against that line. But I also think that the Bengals defense is really bad. So if you can play some sort of ball control, which they've been doing the last 2 weeks, then I'm gonna pick these guys to cover, but I would cross the fingers and the toes on that one because the Bengals are going to start springing together a couple wins here. And they're in a really good division, and they're going to be playing a team from a division that they feel like they should be. So, but I do think I'll say that Washington covers, but cross those fingers.
I'm nervous about saying Washington will win 3 in a row. I have them winning the previous 2, so for that reason alone, I'll say the Bengals surprise them and come into FedEx Field and escape with a W.
I think they split with Detroit and Cincinnati
in the next 3. Then,
what'd you say, Mike?
I'm the only expert who has a losing record in the next 3, then. I've got them at 1-2 in the next 3.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think they'll go 2-1. They're losing. They're not winning 3 in a row, and I think they could be 1-2. I can see them losing to Detroit and Cincy at home, but I like what Mitch said about getting to Burrow. I think they win that. I think they win and cover against the Bengals. I won't be shocked by anything there, though. Like, if they lose to the Giants, I'll be kind of shocked.
Thanksgiving showdown in Dallas. It is a pick'em, just like
– Oh, God, give me Washington on that one. Did they watch yesterday?
Okay, you just completely interrupted my zing, so how dare you?
I don't know. I think it'll be a winning debut for new coach Jerry Jones.
I also think Kime's reaction was definitely better than whatever your zing was going to be, Pete.
Definitely.
On Washington.
Pete gets so amped up for his zings.
Go ahead, Pete. Let's hear your zing.
No, I'm going to keep it in the holster.
Let's start over. Pete, can you tell us what the line is for the Dallas game on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, sure. It's actually going to be a pick'em, just like
what. Oh my God! I can't believe it.
Damn it, Kime.
Kime's making Pete look like a big giant turkey.
It's going to be a pick'em, just like it will be at the buffet for Michael Phillips at AT&T Stadium.
Yes, sir.
And also,
all this was for that.
You know that cricket. You know that cricket sound they play at the stadium when the other team runs out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a terrible zing.
Okay. I have Washington winning, and I also have Michael Phillips attending Jerry Jones's post-game press conference on Zoom because he loves doing that.
Didn't go well for the last guy who went to Thanksgiving with the owner after the game. So what was that? 2012. That was a long time ago.
Yes.
That was Dan Snyder, though, not Jerry. Jerry didn't come
back. That Robert?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Skins are going to beat the snot out of Dallas. They've quit. They're a train wreck.
Everybody's taking Washington here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be where this taking Washington thing.
So do you have them winning four in a row, Pete? You have them going 4-0 there?
Nope. Bad listener. Have them losing last week to the Bengals, 3-1.
Okay. So you're at 5-6?
Oh, God. I might have got ahead of my skis there. But yeah, sure.
You also predicted them to go 8-8.
That's true. I have to make those two things merge.
I have them at 5-6 too, and I'm perfectly pleased with that.
You look it. You're just chilling on your couch there. All right, next one.
I am at 4-7 somehow.
Washington football team going to Pittsburgh. This is the biggest number.
Loss.
Left. Loss. Pittsburgh's plus 12.5.
They will cover. That defense is way too good.
I think the Niners might be a bigger number by the time we actually get there.
Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh covers, and there's not much to talk about positive after this one, in my opinion.
Kime, did you go there?
No, I said, yeah, it's
unanimous. Unless Mitch wants to disagree and take a cover.
I definitely have a Pittsburgh win. The best thing that can happen is for it to be a snowstorm, and hopefully they have to run the ball. And if the Steelers have to run the ball, then maybe they can cover the 13.
All right. After that, they're heading from Pittsburgh to San Francisco, where San Francisco is projected to be a 10.5-point favorite.
Niners.
Here's the thing. There's a Kyle Shanahan factor here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He didn't get to run up the score on homecoming last year because it was raining. So he's got some tricks in the backfield. I've got a Trent Williams touchdown. You want to put odds on the board on that for me?
I love that call, Philly.
You know how excited I would be if that happened?
But
that would be the other the hard part with that game too. The Niners do so much movement up front, and the one thing that left side of the line has a hard time with is all that movement, the stunts and all that. I just don't see how they can keep that one close.
Yeah,
listen, everybody from yesterday, John Cornelius Lucas is the next Trent Williams.
Well, San Francisco has the real Trent Williams, which is more important, and also Kyle Shanahan, as Philip said, is going to make sure he gets make sure Washington gets their comeuppance. Is that the proper way to use that?
Is there a line on if Schweitzer and Trent Williams exchange jerseys?
They have to FedEx them to each other, right?
Yeah.
What are the odds that all of Trent's exchange jerseys are actually still in Redskins Park somewhere?
Just in that pile of stuff he had?
All right. I think the Niners are going to be so much more healthy. We're talking 6-7 weeks from now. I think the Niners are going to be – the offense is going to be healthy and rolling at that point. Garoppolo is going to be going. The wide receivers are going to be back. I don't know how they keep this thing close.
I mean this the right way. With games like this, we don't have to go in detail. We can just say that.
I think we spent a lot of time on this game.
Because it's going to be a lot of fun with the – we already had the Adrian Peterson revenge tour. We're now going to have the Trent and Shanny revenge.
Mitch doubling down on the game.
Well, I will say.
Right. I'm not going to let you bully me out of this.
But, Mitch, you'll like this too. The one thing that would have been fun to watch in training camp would have been a Chase Young, Trent Williams one-on-ones during the line drill. So that's like the number one thing I'm going to be looking forward to watching in that one.
Kime
gets me.
Kaim, it's a real shame we didn't get Miami on the schedule so we could see Chase go up against Eric Flowers, huh?
All right. Hey, listen, if you had done that on Thanksgiving, it'd been better for you too.
All right, next game.
Still have the Super Bowl.
Final game of the death stretch. Seattle is favored by 10, even though they're coming to FedEx Field, and I got Seattle winning that easily. Russell Wilson is impossible to stop. I don't know how Washington would ever even think about doing it.
Washington loses, but I'll take the points here. I like it. Give me a double-digit home dog every time.
All Seattle does is win by one or two. That is right. Their mode of operation.
I also agree they're winning.
I also think that, you know, the one thing that I wondered with this team all along is we knew they were going to have a hard time early because of the offseason and the newness of everything, young team, et cetera. That second half of the year is when you have to show some progress, and maybe that's the game where you say, hey, they lost, but you saw a little bit more after those couple weeks. So I would say that they'll play a better game after getting, you know, the two tough ones in Pittsburgh and San Francisco and cover that one.
Seattle scores a lot, but they also give up a lot, kind of like what Philly said. They play a ton of close games despite how good Russ is and how well that offense runs. Double digits at home, I'll take the dog.
Quentin Dunbar revenge game.
There you go.
All right, final two. Washington, the number at least will be a little smaller here. This is the Ron Rivera Bowl, and the Panthers are going to be -3.
Remind me, is that home or in Carolina?
That is at home, FedEx Field, and I got Washington not only covering but winning because Ron Rivera gets them so focused on doing so that it's impossible for them not to.
Impossible?
Yeah, there's going to be no way they leave that field without a victory for their coach.
I'm going to disagree.
Yeah.
Nice script.
Yeah.
They carry him off on their shoulders, chanting his name.
Yeah.
No, Carolina's going to win. They're the better team.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that one. Although, again, I go back to my theory that they're going to win. If they really want to show some progress, you've got to win that game or the next game to close the season. But I think a couple weeks ago for ESPN way to do this, I think I had that as an L just because they were coming off the Giants game and just, you know, but oh man. I'll say that they lose by one. How's that?
I kind of like that time. Carolina like grinds out tough wins. Yeah. I think the Panthers win.
So in light of everybody's predictions, do we have an odds that the game against Philly is for the playoff spot?
Well, I think first you got Christian McCaffrey who's probably going to be back by the time that game happens.
Good point.
That's going to be a tough matchup for anybody on Washington. I think the Panthers kind of roll in that game a little bit.
So, Philly, to your point, we asked if there was, like, what are the chances of winning in? And he said the chances of that are really good, even if it's just for Philly. But I think the tie is going to impact this division race significantly, and it's made me revisit the two-point conversion in New York a bunch in my head. I think they beat Philly in Philly, and I don't know, man. I think the Eagles are just – who knows? And we're 2 months out. I don't think we need to, you know, admonish ourselves too much on these predictions, but I just – it'd be cool. It'd be interesting if they swept the Eagles in 2020.
Are you up or down on division title? Do they beat the Eagles and win, or are they still the half game back and lose?
I think I think it's going to be a win and they take it, honestly.
Sunday night football. The greatest Week 17 Sunday night football of all time.
6-10 winner.
Listen, I don't know that the Eagles have 4 wins left in their schedule. I'm looking at it right now.
They have a hard schedule.
Cowboys, 5-10. Giants, Browns, Seahawks, Packers.
They have the Cowboys twice.
Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys, Washington. I think the Eagles finish the season with 3 more wins. The 2 of them against the Cowboys, 1 against the Giants. Washington wins week 16 to finish 6-10 and steal the division and a home game against the Bucks or somebody like that in the playoffs.
All right,
give me a prompt that it's 5-10 against 5-9-1 for the division title. Does it get flexed to Sunday Night Football, or does Al Michaels just say, I'm good, thank you?
I think it'll be Tirico on the call, but it gets flexed to Sunday Night Football.
I had the Eagles win that one. I'll stick with the Eagles.
I have the Eagles too, and I think it might be JP Finley on the call at that point. We'll see.
Have a great broadcast.
Exactly.
JP, I'd be happy to do sideline for you there.
You're my guy, big man. All right, quickly for everybody, highlight, lowlight of the first half of the season. Philly, you go.
What a cliche thing to say that it's Terry McLaurin, but he's so good. He runs his routes so crisply. And in an offense where he is the only legitimate star or even fairly good player, somehow finds a way to rise above it, make clutch catches. It's him. And, yeah, if I were to pick somebody on defense, probably Montez Sweat. You know, I think Chase Young has been outstanding, but I think Sweat's really risen to the challenge accompanying him and has played some good ball. You'd have to say the quarterback carousel has been the low light so far, just has really detracted from everything else going on in the building and, you know, an unforced error for Ron Rivera early in his tenure.
Go ahead, Mitch.
For the highlight, I'm going to go with Morgan Moses. He's been good at right tackle, and he's been taking the brunt of so much S over the last year. And last season, he wasn't good. In the offseason, he's been an anchor on that offensive line. He's played really well. He's been solid. I think he's really put a foothold in that right tackle position. And so for him, I think he doesn't get enough credit. So here is my Morgan Moses appreciation.
Only two penalties so far this year. Big improvement.
What's your low light, Mitchell?
Helps the penalties are down across the league.
Yeah, my low light was we talked about it on Facebook the other day, but for me it was the Rams, the offensive performance against the Rams. I think just the totality of that game, especially in that second half, it was miserable. I didn't think Scott Turner called a good game. I didn't think Kyle Allen or Alex Smith particularly executed well, and it wasn't just the quarterbacks. It was the offensive line. It was the running backs. It was everybody across the board. So for me, the low light was the offensive performance there in a game that you kind of just wanted to see the offense keep taking incremental steps forward, getting better. That was a big time regression, as Ron liked to say. And for me, that was a low light.
Low light for me was the ultimate regression in Cleveland for Dwayne, 4 turnovers. Ron backed him post game, immediately changed his tone the day after. And that was kind of where this whole Dwayne decline really began. Highlight is Kendall Fuller in the secondary. 4 picks as of through the bye week, which is puts him amongst the league leaders. It's just been such a treat watching him return and deliver on a big contract. Rarely do we see that amongst Washington free agent signings, but Fuller is delivering and he's still got a lot of good football left in him. So I'm excited to see how he continues to mature and the ways he impacts that secondary.
I'm
a player too.
Can we name the s'mores as a highlight?
Definitely.
So, all right. So for me, the highlight would be the continued development of Terry McLaurin and just where he's taking his game, because he's been moving around a little bit more, playing a little bit more inside at times, more effective there. He's much more of a target for defenses, yet he and they are still finding ways to get him the ball, for him to produce after the catch. But I think the other aspect of that is the leadership part. He was, Urban Meyer would always call him like one of the best leaders he ever had. And it's easy to see why, but I think he came in here with the approach that he's not at that level yet where he can start flexing his leadership muscle. You're now starting to see that. So I think seeing the evolution of him just as an overall player and a team leader has been a highlight to see. And I think the low light, I'm going to stick with my alma mater in Ohio State, and it's the lack of development by Dwayne Haskins. And because of what it means for the franchise, and we all, before the season, we talk about how, well, this season was a lot about his development. And then after 4 games, that experiment was over. So I think it's left fans in a very bad state of mind again. And I just think it puts that question is such a huge one for this franchise now hanging over their heads for the last however many weeks. And we can talk about and joke about the division title or competing for that, whatever. But the reality is, like, even if they go 6-10 in the division, they need a quarterback. So, I think that hanging over their heads has been a definite low light, because it puts them back in a spot where they hoped that they wouldn't be so soon.
I'm sticking with your alma mater, Kaim. Highlight for me was Chase Young's debut. That had a Strasburg's debut vibe to it. He was dominant. The team won. It was an exciting come-from-behind win, and you just saw this prospect with so much excitement around him deliver, and it was so cool. And I think I get kind of wrapped into the hometown kid story of all that too. Low light again, sticking with the Buckeyes and a hometown kid, Dwayne Haskins. I think I don't think this got enough attention. I think the violation of COVID protocol in New York is a really, really dumb move by a kid with maturity questions. And listen, we all talk about how upset people get on both sides of this thing. When Ron made the decision to go to Kyle, a lot of people felt that they completely sold out Dwayne. And then you start to hear stories of he wasn't practicing hard enough. He was getting there late. He was celebrating after the Ravens game. And whether or not we know those things to be true, because I imagine for some of us, we know parts of those things to absolutely be true. But whether or not we know those things to be true, that's still hearsay. It's still we're hearing it from someone else. It's there's nothing concrete because the team's never going to comment on that sort of stuff, right? The team fined him for violating COVID protocols when the coach is fighting cancer. Now, I don't know. There could be extenuating circumstances. I know he grew up in New Jersey. Maybe it was a family member. Whatever it was, you cannot do that. And if you're now, when people want to point to, oh, how can you say he has maturity questions? Boom, there's a concrete example to point to, and that whole thing just bothered me significantly. This is 1 week after he wasn't able to come to the game because he was sick. So he gets to travel the next week, and he has a COVID violation. Like, what the F, dude? What the F?
Especially for a franchise that's been really, really careful and upfront about all these protocols. Oh. And it's been very like you have to wear a mask in that building, and people do, or otherwise you're gonna be fine. So like there's a lot of things that they know that shouldn't be done.
Well, and I'll add this, and maybe this is on me, right? And or maybe this is premature, but I've bought into Dwayne this summer. Talking with him personally, yeah, on Zooms, and I was like, man, it really looks like he's grown up. It really looks like he gets it. I really thought he could be poised for a good season. And then we got to August and we saw him in training camp and it didn't look that good. And I understand why Ron made the move. Ron wants his team on the field and that's what he's doing. He's get Kyle Allen's his guy, the Shazer Everett's his guy. Ron is starting to show what he wants and get what he wants. And it'll be interesting to watch that over the second half of the year. But that low light stood out to me. And I think because it came out on like a Friday night, it got buried a little bit and they were playing the Cowboys. Last thing. Yes or no, do they get to 6 wins, Philly?
No, they do not.
Mitchell?
Yeah, they do. And they win the division. Peter. NFC East champs, 6-10, Washington football team.
I will buy that shirt.
Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Peter?
They do, but it is not enough. The tie against the Bengals benefits the Eagles.
Kime?
No. That's it.
What's so crazy is that I've had them at 5-11 all year, and now I think I got them going to 6. This is a weird time.
I had them at 6-10 before the season, and I don't know why I'm falling back because my gut kind of tells me that they're going to probably pull out one of those last two games, which for me in my game by game would get it to 6-10. But I don't have faith, and I just. They don't have a lot of firepower. They've had some injuries that I just wonder if they can get there.
For sure. All right. Thank you guys for coming on. It's been fun. Anything to plug? Kime podcast, Phillips, newspaper acquisition.
Absolutely. We're looking into buying several more papers that happened during this podcast.
Philly, if you need an investor, let me know. I'm happy to chip in and help take your empire to the next level.
You staked me an event that did not happen this weekend, so I feel like we have unfinished business to take care of. Pete, however, the door is permanently closed after his suggestion of taking the Packers' third-string running back, who ended up getting like three
carries. What was the final stat line on that guy, Pete?
5 carries, 11 yards.
I wish people could have heard how bullish Pete was. What's the young man's name? A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, Quadzilla.
Yeah.
He was like Jim Cramer on Mad Money, man. He was just punching buttons. He was all over it.
When we all picked him up, I thought we were signing Jim Brown. He was going to go out there and go for 250 and 4 touchdowns the way Pete sold him.
I'll be honest. When I brought him up and you guys completely bought in my head, I was like, it's kind of surprising how much all four of these people are believing in me. So
you know what? It's our own fault.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's go to the bye week.
All right, so we're going to play golf for 3 days. Who will owe who the most money between the three of us, Kaim? You get to guess.
I'm guessing that you are going to owe a few dollars this week.
Ooh, all right. They're finally taking strokes. Billy?
I'm with Mitch. I think Mitch is going to roll this week. I think he is going to be the winner.
All right, we'll find out.
He tried to take me out. My hands aren't 100% right now. Pete decided to slam a window on him. So we're playing hurt.
Was the question that who's going to owe the most or win the most?
I don't really know. I think I framed it poorly. So you can take it anyway.
I have a feeling that you might owe the most.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that after you already said it.
John, we appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Key of Alexandria. Let's ride together.